Blog Talk Radio.
Causing so many people
to, I won't say go astray, because some of us have never been on the correct path, but to be led astray by false doctrine, by not coming into agreement with the scriptures in the Bible. Messiah gives us the key. All we have to do is listen to it and then do it. So we have to make sure that all here is in agreement. There's no scripture that contradicts other scriptures. And when we see something in the scripture and it's only one time in the scripture, we can't base a doctrine upon it. We have to look and see, wait a minute, was this worded a little bit different or said a little bit different from the other scriptures in such a way that it means the same thing as the other scripture, but people have used it to twist scripture because it doesn't say it exactly the same way. So, we are told, and we do it as part of our statement of faith every time we meet, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We believe that all scripture is given, all, and that's the important word there, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We have to use all of the scriptures, and Messiah told us that he came not to destroy the law or the prophets. And so if we want to know how we're supposed to walk, if we want to know what we're supposed to believe, if we want to know how we're supposed to behave, then we have to look in the law. We have to look in the prophets. We have to look at Messiah. We also have to look at the disciples, because they did not do anything different. Once they came into understanding, they did not do anything different than the prophets. And so people are taking the teachings of Paul, which is said are hard to be understood, especially if you're not coming from the word of the Most High, if you don't believe all of the word. So it is there in that I find that the many who are in the wide gate are stuck in the wide gate because they can't hear that they have to keep the law of the Most High. It's always been about his law. It's always been about obedience to him. And so Messiah didn't come and say, okay, it's okay to be disobedient. He never said that. He never practiced that. He never showed that. He didn't change to that. Matter of fact, if we really look, and then we'll get started this morning. If we really look, he said he came to fulfill the law. Now, because he has fulfilled the law, and he is our example, false doctrine, the doctrine of men, are telling you that you don't have to fulfill the law because he fulfilled it. Think about that for a minute. You don't have to keep the law because Messiah kept it. He came because we weren't keeping it. Our forefathers weren't keeping it. And so he showed us how to keep it. And I've done lessons on this in the past, but I've shown where it's your love of Messiah that makes you keep the law. That's why he says, if you willfully sin, if you're willfully disobedient, then you don't love him. Because your love of him should make you keep the law, make you not transgress it, make you establish the law. So it says it right in the scripture. And so, it's the doctrines of men. That's what he said. The doctrines of men. You by your traditions and the doctrines of men break the commandments of the Most High. So we're going to continue in this morning because this is where, for those that are meant to hear it, that him that has the ear to hear. You only get an ear to hear if the Most High gives you the ear to hear. You don't give it to everybody to understand. But it's meant for and for them to get it, then they might be doers of it. That's who we're fishing for. Because this is who he wants, those that will hear it and do it and understand it. Okay, so there are many false doctrines out here, and there are many false teachers out here. He says that it would be this way. So anybody that's telling you that you don't have to keep the law, anybody that's telling you that the law was changed or was, you know, how do I say this, that the law was done away with, that, you know, there's another day to worship on, these are all false doctrines. And they're meant who are unlearned or who were not called astray. And those who are called, even if they're walking in error, when they hear the truth, they will correct. They will correct. It's not meant for them to be lost. So I don't know how long this series is going to go on, because the more I look, the more the Most High is allowing me to see. I never thought that there would be 10 lessons in this. But we haven't even scratched the surface of how much falseness is being out there in the world. And so we want to give every, because the Most High's will is that everyone should be saved. That's his will. So we have to for everyone. We have to teach it for everyone. But everyone has a choice to either stay in error or to come into truth. That is their choice. And when you come into truth, then you understand that you must be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And you must do what Messiah said to do, not what men say, but what he says and what the prophets say. So we're going to continue to look at this on this morning. I was thanking Yah because this last new moon celebration, after I sent out, you know, why we observed the new moon, and I explained, you know, the Moedim, and that the Bible shows that it is the new moon that we use for that. More people showed up to the new moon celebration. I was kind of surprised. But nevertheless, to Yah be the glory. And I pray that, you know, they continue to come in and to hear and to listen and to become doers. Part of the problem is that people just don't want to change. You know, that a lot of these strongholds, that is exactly what they are strongholds. And people don't want to let them go. But they know they have to let them go, because I see people coming and going. They're coming and going back and forth. And so that there's something to what Yah has given me to tell them, that they are seeing it and then they're hearing it, but they have some strongholds that they don't want to let go. And you can't eat from all kind of different tables. Scriptures tell us don't do that. But I never tell anybody, you know, you shouldn't be listening over here or you shouldn't be listening over there. It's whosoever Yah draws. My job is just simply to say it and to tell it. And so to all those who have been bouncing back and forth, dropping in here, and, you know, you hear something, and then this ministry is supposed to convict you to turn. And if it's driving you away, that's fine too, because to me, the Most High is saying, hey, that one is refusing to turn. It's not on me. So we are to convict our brothers and sisters of sin, that we don't walk in it, that we turn to the Most High, and that we worship him in spirit and in truth. This false salvation, because, you know, it is clear to me in my spirit, in my mind, in my understanding of this, and the more that I'm looking at it in this light and attacking it from this light, that, you know, many are not going to make it. Only a few make it. That is where the message has to be coming from. Why should I keep messages that allow people to stay where they're at? That allow people to stay where they're at. Just a second. Let me do something here. Let me try to call in on the 480 number. Make sure that it is up. Hot second. so, you know, I pray that we are able to hear this, that we're able to receive it, that we're able to do it, and be in complete agreement. Because as I've told you before, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right and do it. And it's still up to the Most High whether I get in.
Prince ID.
I'm sorry. That is not a valid extension. Please try again. Please enter the conference PIN number. After the tone, say your name, and then press the pound key.
Brother Miles.
Thank you.
Okay. Just had to verify that that was working. Let me tell the person that they're trying to get in the wrong way. Okay. All right. So let's continue here. Let's go ahead and start this morning. And we're going to start with our statement of faith and pray in. And go ahead and move along in this, because this is vital to the salvation of some others, whoever that may be. I don't know who Yah is talking to, but I know that that many have to be moved, and they have to let go of those strongholds. That they're holding on to, that keep them from doing what the scriptures says, not what Brother Miles says, but what the scriptures say, okay, what the word of the Most High says. So let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, those that are listening on the internet, those that are in North America, in South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, in the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, in the English. Good morning. I'm going to ask everyone to do what the scripture says. Examine yourself. Examine yourself in accordance with the scripture. And if your doctrine does not line up with what the scriptures are saying. If you can read the scripture in one place and it says this, and you read it in another place, it's saying something different to you, but you know they're about the same thing, then you need to bring your understanding in line with the scriptures. The old and the new must line up. They are based upon one another. The new is based upon the old. The new doesn't replace the old, because the Most High said, I'm going to write my law. His laws were already established in your heart and in your mind. Same laws that he told Abraham, Isaac, same laws that he told Jacob, the same laws that Messiah came to give back to the people, to explain to the people. He didn't change them. And so if we don't believe that we are subject to those laws, or those laws were eradicated, or they were, you know, radically changed to where they mean something completely different. Oh, you just don't have spiritual understanding because you can't understand this new, the new law. Then the Most High never said he's going to give any new laws. And so it is the commandment of men that you got to be afraid of. It's the doctrine of men that you have to be afraid of, because they are taking your eyes off the mark, which are the laws of the Most High. That is the mark. That is the standard. And anything that changes that standard would be a false, because we believe that, how do I say this one time? Animal sacrifice. The only reason why we can't do animal sacrifice today is because we have no physical temple of a building with an altar designed like the one in heaven that most I said the sacrifices would be made at. In the future, he's going to reinstitute that. Right now, we are the offering. We are the sin offering. We are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. In the future, when he establishes the temple back on the earth, he's going to reestablish the sacrifices, because the blood of bulls and goats for sin, he never wanted. He never wanted that. Not that the blood of bulls and goats are not pleasing in his nostrils, because it is, but not when it's for sin. So we have to understand that there are some things that we are, that are being twisted and perverted to draw the masses away from the Most High, and it has to be satanic because it's so subtle. And so people grow up believing things that don't line up with the word of the Most High, and believing that, you know, they can be good people if they do good work as far as feeding the hungry and those types of things, but they don't obey the word of the Most High. So let's get started on this point. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 10. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this point. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to come together on this morning and glorify you, Father, and to lift your name up and to magnify you, O Yah Elohim, and to magnify your laws. For truly, your laws are our standard, Father. Your laws are good, and they are righteous, and they are holy, and they lead us unto life, Father. And we just want to thank you for allowing us to believe in them and to believe in you and to worship you, Father. Hallelujah. As you have directed that we should worship you. And we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands praise to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In your still, how much your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation. We gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters. We gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of her. Cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order. Cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise. Open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat.
All right, amen, 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 amen. You know, I'm sitting here, and I am smelling like microgreens, and there's called a salad mix, but the smell of it, my body, my nose, falling in love with it. With that smell. I'm not even around it right now, but I'm smelling it. And I'm like, oh, must be giving me a hint. I need to go get some of it. Nevertheless, let us move into this precept on this morning, okay, because it is in the scriptures we learned from last night that it is, the problem is people following the doctrine of men and the traditions of men over the commandments of the Most High, okay? And that is what's leading them astray, and that's what's keeping most people from finding the straight gate, because the straight gate means that you're walking on the straight and narrow word of the Most High, and you're not turning to the right or to the left. And if you do his commandments, then you shall find life by doing his commandments. Okay, and so as I continue to look into this and at, you know, and study it and look for answers as to why, because I'm a why type of person, why does the word of Elohim say this? Why does he expect us to walk this way? Why do people not follow him? It's always why? And as I'm looking into the word as to how so many never find the way, because Messiah gives us, he's giving us the answers. We've got to look into what he said. Like when I read in Romans, and I read that Israel went about to establish its own righteousness. How? Why? Because it's important that we know these things so that we don't make the same mistake. See, to get caught up. That's why, you know, when Paul says he dies daily, that means that, hey, he has to remember that this walk and flesh and our minds can get in the way. And we can let our flesh try to dictate some things to us. We can let our mind try to dictate that. Why am I talking about that word? Dictate some things to us and get us off of the word of the Most High. And so it is in this that we need to look at this. I think I'm going to do another series after this one, but it's going to be, you know, examine yourself. Because we have to walk in his word, not in our own understanding, but in his word. So we have to examine our lives in accordance with his word. Period. You know, we are told to do that. And so I think the next series will be in that line, that we look at his word, and then we, you know, every person has to do it for themselves. Brother Miles cannot make anybody else examine their life. I can only show you what the word says, and then you examine yourself in that understanding. Because, you know, everybody's not called to teach. Everybody's not called to preach. Everybody's not called to do a certain job. And sometimes we can step into something. It's a good thing to desire to do it. But we got to understand that the Most High, he says, I give you teach. You got to make sure that you're given as a teacher to teach. I know when I was involved with some other ministers, and as soon as they would say something that didn't line up in the word, you know, I couldn't just sit there and let people hear that and not say anything. And it was a way, you know, to correct it in love and to correct it tactfully, to use the word of the Most High to say, you know, brother, that is not saying that. We have to do these things in love. And it's not to be hateful or to show that I know more than you or you know more than me, because we are all supposed to be trying to get to the same destination, entering into the kingdom. But we know that a lie will cause us to go into the lake if we believe a lie. And so this is what's going on. This is what the Most High is saying. Many are called, but few are chosen. Powerful. It's deep. And we have to ask, why it's happening? Why is this? When he says, hey, many of you are going to say, you did all these things in my name. And then be shocked when I tell you, I don't know you. That's powerful. And so we have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are not in that group. And if we are, then we have to admit that and repent. It's just that simple. We're either going to love what we think we know, or we're going to love the truth. And if what we know lines up with the truth, that's all fine and well. That's good. But if it's not lining up with it, then we have to change. The Most High's word is not going to change, and his judgment is not going to change. It's not going to. And he's not going to change it so that it fits our situation, so that we can get in the way that we think we ought to get in, when he's already said this is what it takes. Okay. So with that caveat, let's continue in, because we're looking at the Lord's Day. And for those of you who have the Bible program that I gave you, I want you to pull it up, and I want you to search in the Bible, search the entire Bible, for one phrase, the Lord's Day. Okay. You know, if you have a program that you are able to search scriptures with, then use that. You know, because it's not a bad thing to use technology as long as we're using it to do good. A lot of people were afraid of the internet because most people who use the internet, the usage of the internet was mainly for porn. So people saw it as an evil tool. But those people who were using it for porn were using it that way because that's what they wanted to do. So it's how you use the tool. Okay? How you use the tool. If you're not using it to surf porn or to do anything type of things like that, then you can use it for good. Right. So I, you know, gave you guys a program. If you look in that program, you will find if you put in the Lord's Day with an apostrophe, you got to put that apostrophe in there. You only find one scripture in all of the whole Bible. And that's in Revelation. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1, we're going to get verse 10. And John is saying this, okay. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, that's the only place you're going to find that verse. But you got to ask yourself this question. What would John have understood the Lord's Day to be? What would the apostles have understood the Lord's Day to be? I was in the Spirit on Yah's Day. What day would that have been? Now, if you are being honest with yourself, the first thing that's got to come up is the Sabbath. Because this is the day that he set aside, that we are to honor him in. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll come back to this. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. And we are going to... We're not going to read this whole thing. We're going to come down. Just understand that the Most High is rebuking Israel in Isaiah chapter 58 because they are not honoring him on his day. Okay, and they are doing the fast, but he says, the fast that you're doing are not the fast that I called for. You fasting for a reason that I didn't tell you to fast for, and you're coming to present yourself before me as though you were righteous, like you had a right to present yourself before me and ask me anything. And see, when we look at how the Most High treats Israel and the things that he rebuked Israel for, that he chastises Israel for because they were his son, he chastised them until he got tired of chastising them, our forefathers. Okay, so in Isaiah chapter 58, go down to verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, it gives you joy. Holy of Yah. Now see, here is the thing, and here is what the enemy has done. The enemy has taken the Most High's ways and made them Jewish, quote-unquote, ways, so that he can divide the people. We don't want to be like those Jews. We're not like them. Okay, this is the mentality that was put out there. And that these Jewish holidays, we don't want to keep them. We don't want to do what's required on those days because we don't want to be like them. Now, this is the mentality. And whatever picture that you get in your mind of what a Jew is, whether it's a people, whether it's a way of life, whatever your mentality is, it's the people over in the land right now, if it's us that are scattered around the world, whatever standing of that word is, the world did not want to be like that, okay? And so they came up with their own understanding of even the Sabbath day as being, and they used the justification for it by identifying it with a people. But look at that verse, the holy of Yah. Everywhere where we read in the scriptures that the Most High gave us a time to keep, he said it was his time, his feast days, his holidays. They were given to Israel by the Most High. So this mentality that these are Jewish holidays, Jewish feast days, it only a way to separate. It's a tool to separate. Because you're saying that we're worshiping the same Elohim, Jew or Gentile. And these are his feast days, holy to him. So when I do the research and I find out where, you know, where and how they started using this day, it was to separate. It was to make a distinction for the purposes of discriminating, for the purpose of dividing. This is us, this is them. But the root source is the Most High. These are not the feast days of the quote-unquote Jews. These are not the feast days of Israel. They are the feast days of the living Elohim. All the prophets knew this. Messiah knew this. So when we look in Isaiah, he says, if you turn, don't turn away your foot from keeping his Sabbath. Stay away from doing your own pleasure. What pleases you on his day? And call the Sabbath a delight. Because see, you talk about keeping the Sabbath, people get, they get kind of angry. They get, we don't do that. We don't have to do that. That's for those Jews. But they say that they're serving the same Elohim that we are serving. They're saying that they're serving the same Elohim, the same God that is in the book. The Elohim in the book said, these are my holy days, my holy day. I established this from Genesis when I rested. From my work, my labor, when I stopped creating, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him. So when we don't keep his Sabbath, and when we do in the Sabbath, which those things that he does not allow, we dishonor him. We dishonor him. And we got to understand that. That it, when we are not in obedience to his word, we dishonor him. Not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own word. Now, this is the Sabbath, and it has laws to it. It has ordinances, and it has judgment. We're not doing it. Every day cannot be the Sabbath. That's why when we read in Romans chapter 14, it says some esteem one day and some esteem every day. Now, the Most High gave us one day. It says 6 days. You can work. Sabbath day, you're not to work. And if every day is the Sabbath, then you couldn't make a living unless you were a priest. Doing priestly work. So we got to understand that this term, the Jews' laws, but even the law of Moses, Moses never gave a law that was his own. These are terms used to divide, for, to twist, to divide people, so that they will accept a doctrine that is their own. It's not of the Most High. It contradicts his statutes, his law, his commandments, his judgment. It contradicts them. So the Lord's Day, you will only find that wording in one scripture. And you know from last night, we read the verse that said we got to do everything by witness. You can't take one verse and make it a doctrine. The word must line up, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you're not going to get it all in one place. Here a little, and there a little. So when we think we can read the scriptures and read, you know, a certain book or a certain verse and believe that we have understanding, trust me, you have no understanding. Well, let me change that. You have an understanding, but it's not according to knowledge. Because we are told that we got to get a little over here, a little over there, and it's got to line up, and it's got to be nothing contradicts itself. So when you, if you think some scripture contradicts another scripture, then you have a misunderstanding of one of those scriptures, or you are applying the wrong verse to another verse. So it has to be witnessed. The Old Testament, the Torah, and the New Testament, the New Covenant, they line up. The Most High did not change things. He stopped some things. I'm not going to do animal sacrifice right now. Your sacrifice for sin is Messiah. I want you looking to him. Not that the blood of bulls and goats don't please me. But he tells us clearly, it never pleased him when it was for our sin, even in Israel. When we bring a peace offering or a free will offering, Most High, you know, I just want to tell you I love you. Here's a sacrifice, something that's pleasing in your nostril. It's not for my sin. I'm not here to present because I'm in need, because I've fallen. I'm here to sacrifice because I love you. And I want to show you that how much I love you, and I want to give you something that I know you say pleases you. So here's this animal. You want it, and it's not for my sin. That was pleasing in his nostrils. That was a sweet smell to him. Now, as soon as we do it for our sins, he says, I ain't never want that. That don't smell the same to me. But I'm allowing it until I can come and put the system in place to redeem you. So do this so that I don't have to kill you, that I can allow you to make atonement, that you can come back into a right relationship with me. But it never cleared the person's conscience because man's mentality was, hey, well, then all I got to do is kill another animal. But not understanding that the Most High says, you know what? If that animal died for your willful sin, it's not acceptable. You weren't even supposed to kill that animal for that reason. And it is not atoned for your sin. Because you did it willfully. You did it presumptuously. The priest never should have sacrificed for you. Atonement. We bring that forward into the New Testament, and then we take Messiah and try to do the same thing. I just keep killing you over and over again every time that I willfully sin. He said, I went up there one time. I'm not going back up there again for you. And if you keep doing this, knowing that it's sin, you can't, there's no blood for that. None of my blood can be used for that. He don't change. His modus operandi doesn't change. He did not change his day of worship, which is what we're talking about today, just using these things to establish. Most High doesn't change. He tells us he don't change. We have to believe that. And so then when our understanding contradicts what is written, then we need to look in to the word and say, okay, let me do a deeper study of this thing. Because it's not the word, it's us. Study, then we'll find out that, hey, well, you know, maybe I got to go back to the original language that it was written in. Because people can mistranslate. It says that, They can say that. But when they translated it, did they use, were they able to correctly explain it in the translation? That's what it's all about. So if my understanding, if I speak Hebrew or if I speak Greek, and then I try to translate into the English so that you can get an understanding of a Greek concept or a Hebrew concept, if I don't fully use all the correct words in the correct way, in the correct context, you could come up in error. Okay, so we're going to look at this on this morning because there are some things that are done in the English that if we don't look into the Greek or the Hebrew and we use the English understanding, we can come up with a wrong information. Okay, we can come up with wrong information and a misunderstanding. And we can fall for the doctrine of men in that. So understand that the Most High gave this day, it is his day. All of the feast days are his feast days. They are not Israel's feast days. That is a tactic used by the enemy to divide and conquer. Understand that, so that if anybody's using the understanding that, hey, those were Jewish holidays, you have been deceived. You have been bamboozled. You have been tricked, taught in error, because those are not Jewish holidays. They are not Israel's holidays. They are the holidays, the holy days of the Most High Elohim, starting with his weekly Sabbath. So when John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, John's understanding would be, I'm in the spirit either on the Sabbath, or I want you to look up something else in your Bible. Day of the Lord. In your English, the day of the Lord. And you're going to find approximately 27 matches for that note, for that search. Say the day of the Lord. You now have a completely different understanding. You know what the day of the Lord is about. If you've studied the scriptures, it's about the day that he's coming and he's going to take vengeance. It's about any time that the Most High has come and taken vengeance. In the future, he says, I have appointed a day that I'm going to judge mankind. And when I come to judge, the day of the Lord is not one day, as in the days that we know it. It actually covers some years. But that day is speaking of when he comes and he takes retribution. When he recompenses, when he repays mankind, when he judges, what that day is in reference to, the day of the Lord, the day of Yah. So John is telling you, he's either in the spirit on the Sabbath day, or he's in the spirit telling you about the day that Yah is going to come and repay mankind, that he's going to judge the earth. And that's exactly what he's talking about in the book of Revelation. But the church, specifically the Catholic Church, day to change the weekly Sabbath day from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. And to say, this is when you ought to worship. And they tell you in their own encyclopedia and in their own doctrine, they did it because they did not want to be like the Jews. And so we got to understand that the Jews quote-unquote, Israel, quote-unquote, was following the commandment of the Most High. It was not their commandment. It was not their day. So let me get one more thing, and we'll move on in this to show you that even in the scripture, it doesn't say the first day of the week, okay? Go to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. And let's get verses 20 and 21. And shall not the day of Yah be darkness and not light? Terrible day, a terrible time, even very dark and no brightness in it. It's a question. Because if you study the scriptures, then you should already know the answer to this. But he's asking it as a question, stating the verse as a question. I despise your feast days. Remember, all of the feast days that Israel was supposed to keep were those of Yah. They weren't Israel's feast days. How do they become their feast days? I hate your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. I'm not going to smell your worship. It's not a sweet smell to me. What you are offering up to me stinks from my perspective as Elohim. It stinks. Not a sweet smell in my nostrils. So you coming together and you hooping and hollering and you offering up prayers and sacrifice. But I ain't trying to smell that. Why? There's a reason why. Put it on his day. It's appointed feast day. Why is it not acceptable? Why does he not like it? Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beast. The peace offering was supposed to be made because you were at peace with him. The free will offerings were to be made because you were at peace with him. You weren't walking in transgression, at least willful transgression. So he says, I won't receive them. They won't be a sweet smell in my nostrils. And the things that you're doing that I told you to do, they are not pleasing to me. You away from me the noise of thy song, your worship. It's noise in my ears. I'm not pleased with what I'm hearing. I'm setting a foundation here so that we can get understanding. For I will not hear the melody of thy viol, your string instrument. But let judgment run down as waters. Let judgment and righteousness as a mighty stream. This is the problem. He's telling them what the problem is. You're using your own judgments and you're doing it your own way. And then offering sacrifice and worship to me and it stinks to me. It's not what I told you to do. It's not how I told you to do it. I told you to come before me in righteousness, because you are keeping my laws. You are obeying my voice. Verse 25, have you offered unto me sacrifice and offering in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? They offered offerings to him in the wilderness 40 years. But now what are they doing? have borne, you have carried the tabernacle of your Molech and Chun, your images, the star of your Elohim. There is no star of David. That symbol that you see, the star of David that they use for the house of David, David never had a star like that. That's the star of Rephidim. It was a star that they worshiped in the night sky, and it more than likely was Jupiter. Not even a star, but a planet. When you look into these things, he says, you coming before me, worshiping me on my day, and it with worship of other gods, other symbols, doing things I told you not to do. See what he says? The star of your God, which you made to yourself. That's why I say you cannot take the feast days of the Most High and mix them with pagan things. This is what Israel did. This is what the world has done and is still doing. Tying the Most High to Christmas, to Easter, for the wrong reason. First of all, Christmas was not his birthday, if you're going to celebrate his birthday. But because the world wanted to celebrate his birthday, they picked the date of another god, the sun god, and then tied the Most High to it. If he told Israel it was wrong, then you got to know that it's wrong for the nation. Say that they're worshiping the same Elohim. And this is a grave error because it will cause you to go into the lake. It will keep you from the truth. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus. I'm going to chastise you for this. And I'm going to send you into captivity, saith Yah, whose name is the Elohim of hosts. I hate your feast days because you are not doing them the way that I said to do them, and you are mixing them with pagan things and worshiping other gods, which you made yourself. The doctrines of men, the traditions of men. Now, this is what the world is guilty of. And when the Most High wakes us up as to who we are as a people, if we stay in those things, they are not pleasing to him. They just are not. Elohim. I don't share my stuff with any other Elohim. Especially those that you have made up. He told Israel, don't do it. If you read in the Kings, 1 Kings or 2 Kings, 17 through 19, look in those books, you will see that the Most High, when Assyria took the northern kingdom away, Assyria transplanted some people from other lands into the northern kingdom. But there were still some Hebrews that escaped from the kings of Assyria, and they stayed in the northern kingdom amongst those people that the Assyrians transplanted into the land. Lions, wild lions to come into the land and to attack those people. And they went back to the king of Assyria and said, hey, there's a problem. The God of this land, the Elohim of this land, we don't know how to make him happy. And he sent in one of the priests that they took, that they carried away. Now, the priest that they took and carried away was not of the tribe of Levi. It was a false priesthood that Jeroboam created out of the poor people. you're poor, I'm going to make you the priest of the Most High. And you're going to offer sacrifices on these two altars. Because I don't want the people going back to Jerusalem, because they may not come back. That's what that all stemmed from, is fear of losing the people. Cause them to worship a false god, a false Elohim. But what the priests did do and what they knew was they were supposed to fear the Most High. So they taught the people that were carried into the land by the Assyrians to fear Elohim. But they still worshiped their own God. Think about that. You fear the Elohim of the land, and you pay honor to him, but you still worship your own God. So the Most High let them stay in the land because they had a fear of him, but they still worship their own God because the Most High has a time appointed. And I caused my people Israel to be taken away. And I told the people who were left in the land what they had to do to get them back in the land, and they laughed at it. They laughed about it. We ain't doing that. And we ain't not coming to the Passover. They were so corrupt, they did not want to give up their way of worshiping these false gods, worshiping Molech. And it always usually stemmed from around sex. Sex is part of their worship. And so we got to understand, these things were used to divide. Let me get one more place, kind of ad-libbing it now. As I said, I don't usually prepare a lesson. It's going to come as the Most High leads me. Go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And I want us to pay attention to this wording. Pay attention to this wording. Okay. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, he's speaking to Moses, and he's telling Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yah, not the feast of Israel, not the feast of Moses, the feast of Yah. For those of you who don't identify with that name, the feast of God, the feast of Elohim, these are his feast days. To be holy, convocation, holy meeting. Even these are mine. Moses is not talking for Moses. Moses is talking for the Most High. These are my feet. So when the world tries to make it a Jewish thing or a Hebrew thing, that is used to divide and conquer. That is used to throw you off, to make you think something else. Well, we don't want to be like those Jews. We don't want to be like those. So we got to do something different. So we'll come up with our own holy day. We'll come up with our own feast day. And we will tie the Most High to it. We just saw in Amos what he did to Israel. That's why we got scattered and continued to get scattered, because that was in Amos' days. Now we got into the Americas, into all the continents of the world, because I'm going to scatter you into every country. I'm going to take away your ability to fight for yourself. You're going to run. You're going to be for fear of your life wherever you go. because you refuse to obey me. These are my feet. To all the Christians, to all those who were taught that these were Jewish holidays, you were taught in error. These are the Most High's holidays. And when we worship, when we celebrate other holidays, don't let that word fool you. Holiday, holy day. Other holy days, they are dedicated to other deities. They are not the holy days of the Most High. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day, not the first day, the seventh day. Is the Sabbath of rest. These are my feast days. They're not Israel's feast days. These are not Moses' feast days. Because that is used to misdirect. It's used to divide, and it will keep you, it will make you follow the doctrine of men. That's what it will do. Said, you by your traditions transgress the commandments of the Most High. So this was not done by accident. This was to lure the world away from the Most High. It is satanic. At the deepest level. And it causing billions of people to follow Satan. And they don't even know it. Thinking that they're calling on the Most High. That's why Messiah said, your father, you will follow. But they don't realize that their father is the one that they follow. And their father got them to believe that they did not have to keep the holy days of the Most High. So understand that the holy days of the Most High, his feast days, what he wants the world to follow. So as soon as they tied it to being a Jewish thing or a Hebrew thing, or a Moses thing, and what you hear people doing today, a Paul thing, is to get your focus off the Most High and redirect you to something else. Holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yah in all your dwellings. These are the feet of Yah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, in their times. These are not Israel's holy days. What the heck is going on with my phone or with whatever? This message must be messing with somebody. These are not of Israel. They are not the feast days of Moses. They are not the feast days of Paul. They are not the feast days of the Hebrew people in general. Get this. These are the feast days of Yah. For all mankind. Supposed to start with Israel. supposed to start with Israel. As an education, you are my priest. If you obey my voice, you shall be my priest, a holy nation. And you're going to show the rest of the world how to serve me. That's why he said Israel, taught the nations to disobey the Most High. Not a small thing. So when you think that, you know, keeping Sabbath, you can do it on any day, he told us when that day was. It's the seventh day of the week. You want to know when the seventh day of the week is? Look at your calendar. Care in the past that the seventh day of the week said it was Wednesday. If it, and I'm not saying that it did that, but I hear people with this rationale. Well, the seventh day of the week could have been any day of the week. Look on your calendar. What day are you going by? What calendars are you going by? What's the seventh day on your calendar? Because the enemy is trying to use those types of arguments to divide. That's what he does. They rejected Messiah. Wasn't that they weren't keeping his feast days on his feast days? They were doing that. Only problem is that they were doing it in sin. They were disobeying him, and then they were mixing his holy days with paganism. So he called it their feast day. Their mind. And this is how I want you to keep them. And I'm a jealous Elohim, so don't mix nothing else with my days. Because I don't take kindly to it. I don't share my glory with anything or anyone. My glory will I not give to another. So we got to understand this. And one of the first ones and the biggest ones is the Lord's Day. They have used that as a way to change the weekly Sabbath from the first day of the week, from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. And said, it's okay. You good. Read in Leviticus 23, the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. So if your understanding doesn't line up with that, understand that it's your understanding that is in error, not the word of the Most High. Covenant unto itself, separate and apart from the covenant that he made with Israel. He separated and said, hey, you keep my Sabbath. It shall be a sign between me and you. It's included in this first covenant, but it was established long before you were a people. My weekly Sabbath, at the creation, I rested on the seventh day. It's separate from, and apart from what I'm telling you, but I'm including in my Sabbath, in my commandments to you, that you keep my Sabbath day. Well, you don't hear it in the New Testament when he says the old covenant is canceled. And I'm going to bring you a new covenant. The Sabbath is not even mentioned And this is where people take it that, hey, we don't have to teach that. No, you have, you lack understanding. The Sabbath was a covenant by itself. So if he canceled out the first covenant, the Sabbath still stands alone by itself. Now, when he brings in the new covenant, the Sabbath is still a covenant unto itself. And I'm going to write my law. Sabbath never went away. I can cancel the old covenant. Because even if I didn't give you that covenant, my Sabbath still stands on its own. It was standing before I gave you that covenant. It'll stand after I cancel that covenant. And if I give you a new covenant, my Sabbath still stands. So follow that. Well, let's change a little wording. Let's use the wording that, and they didn't change wording, they used the wording that John used in Revelation. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We'll use that because everything else says the day of the Lord. 27 times in the scriptures, the day of the Lord. And it's always talking about his vengeance. But when you actually read the book of Revelation, that is exactly what John is talking about. And he's revealing the testimony of Messiah, the witness of him, and concerning the day of the Lord, the day of Yah. What that whole book is about, the end time. This is what's going to happen. But they took that, the enemy took that and said, hey, I can use this. And I can create my own doctrine. And I can get many people, in this case, billions of people, to change the day of worship on prejudice. Because we like being prejudiced. We like being, you know, pointed at other people and discriminating based upon some difference. You white, you black, you Puerto Rican, you Spanish. Some reason to discriminate. Good grief, discriminate. They might use it to divide and conquer. That's the enemy. So let's go look at the scripture. Because we want to see what is written. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Remember, we are supposed to follow Messiah. Messiah said, I come not to destroy the law or the prophet, but to fulfill the law and what the prophets have been saying. Now the disciples have to do the same thing. Paul cannot be contrary to the law or the prophet. People are reading Paul. And Peter said, hey, you know, Paul stands some stuff that's hard to understand. You got to understand Paul is a lawyer. And Paul is talking legalese, talking lawyer talk, talking the law. Peter is a fisherman. Two different professions. That's why Peter had a hard time doing what he was commanded to do, to carry it out in the way that the Most High wanted it carried out, because he did not have a full understanding of the law. The spirit of the law. Peter understood the law to the letter. This is what the law says. What I'll do. And it's all that I will do. I will not step away from it. And the Most High says, well, I want you to understand the spirit of the law. Because I don't speak on everything. And I want you to be able to understand correctly what is meant by the spirit of the law. What does this law intend to address? So let us jump into this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 1. What time we got? I got a few minutes. I pray that I laid the foundation there so that you can understand that this thing, the wording, the way the world uses this is the laws of the Jews. These are the feast days of the Jews. But I want you to understand that that was simply used as a way to get you not to follow the commandments of the Most High, to set up the traditions of men over the commandments of the Most High. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost, what we call Pentecost, is a holiday, a feast day of the Most High. Called the Feast of Weeks. In the Greek, Penta is 50. So the Most High said, from the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath day of the Passover. So the Passover fell on a Thursday. The weekly Sabbath would fall on a Friday night, Saturday. He says, from that day, you shall count seven Sabbaths plus one day. That alone should tell you what the Sabbath day is. Why should that tell you what the Sabbath day is? Because if you do 7 days, if you count 7 weeks of Sabbath plus one day, it always comes on a Sunday, the first day of the week, to celebrate Pentecost on a Sunday every year. 7 Sabbaths plus one day. So let's got to tell you as a Christian, if your Sabbath was on a Sunday, 7 Sabbaths of Sunday plus one day puts you on a Monday. Fall on a Monday. But because it's falling on a Sunday, think about that. Thank you, Yah. The fact that they calculate it and it always falls on a Sunday, you have to start with the weekly Sabbath. One moment. And we're going to get verses 15 through 22. Because we're talking about Pentecost, okay? Leviticus 15, 23 and verse 15. We're going to start in verse 14. and actually so you can get complete understanding. Start in verse Leviticus 23, starting in verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. On the morrow, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So he's not going to wave this sheaf the day after the Sabbath. Miles, speak. Yes, this is Brother Miles. Can I help you? Yeah, I can't talk to you right now. Okay. All right. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give you unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. On the morrow, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. This is the weekly Sabbath. And the wave offering is what the church calls Easter. Okay. This is why Easter always falls on a Sunday. They use the weekly Sabbath. And then they use this verse on the morrow after the weekly Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. This is the heave offering or the wave offering or the feast of the first fruit. Messiah being our first fruit from the dead. We're told to celebrate this. Now the world calls it Easter, but it's really the heave offering or the feast of the first fruit. Okay. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yah. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of flour, fine flour mingled with oil, and an offering made by fire unto Yah for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day. Not supposed to eat anything on that day. That you have brought an offering unto Yah before you bring your offering. Okay. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation to keep this day in all your dwellings. Now the world calls this day Easter. But it's the feast of the first fruit, the heave offering. Okay. Now, to get back to Pentecost. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So you're going to count on the morrow, the same day that you made the heave offering, the feast of first fruit offering, after the Sabbath, from that day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths. So you got the weekly Sabbath. The day after the weekly Sabbath, you make the heave offering and you start counting. So the next Sabbath would be one Sabbath. Sabbath after that, two Sabbaths. Until you got to seven Sabbaths. Seven times seven is 49. You're going to count seven Sabbaths. Seven Sabbaths. 49 days. Shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. So you number 50 days. Seven is 49 plus one is 50. So now you have your rule and you have the rules, the protocol as to how you figure Pentecost. You take Passover and you don't start counting from Passover. unless Passover falls on the weekly Sabbath. That's how these days change. Because we're giving clues about what we're to use. Fell on a Friday, then you would start counting seven Sabbaths. Because Easter then should fall on the Sunday. And the heave offering on Sunday after the Passover, if Passover happened on the Sabbath day. If Passover happened on a Wednesday, the weekly Sabbath will now be on still on Friday, Friday night to Saturday night. And on Sunday, you will start counting seven Sabbaths. Now, the world is doing this because Easter always falls on a Sunday. The Feast of First Fruits would always fall on a Sunday because it's the day after the Passover Sabbath. Not Passover itself, unless Passover fell on a Sabbath. And then Pentecost always falls on a Sunday. You got to ask yourself why. Sabbath day, if the Sabbath day was changed to the first day of the week, then you have to count seven Sabbaths. You come up with 49 days plus one day. So if that was on a Sunday, 49th day would fall on a Sunday, and Pentecost would be on a Monday. So it's telling you that the world knows that the weekly Sabbath is Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night. They know that. But we don't want to keep the weekly Sabbath like the Jews. Then you are in violation of how you predict Pentecost. And you are in violation because according to your own understanding, if Sunday is the Sabbath day, then Monday has to be Pentecost every year. But Pentecost, according to the world calendar, is always on a Sunday. And the only way that you can get that calculation is that you're using the Sabbath, the seventh day as the Sabbath. It is impossible to do it otherwise. So you see how when they change the Sabbath day from the seventh day to the first day of the week, that it would be impossible for them to predict or to calculate Pentecost, called in our book the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. It is 49 days plus one. That's where the Greeks get penta, 50. And so the Greeks named it Pentecost. The penta is a Greek word. 50th day. Saying that you should be able to see right there the doctrine of men. Alone, seven Sabbaths plus one day, 50. Get on your calendar. Use Sunday as the day of rest. Count seven Sabbaths, Sunday. Add one day to that, you're going to come up with Monday. And your Pentecost should fall on Monday. It never does, ever. So they are mixing lies with truth. And they have mixed the lie telling you that the Lord's Day, which you find one time in the scripture, is Sunday now. And we worship on that day. Okay. Then calculate your Pentecost out and you're going to come up with a Monday. Why are you celebrating it on Sunday? Ask your pastor that. Coming and hauling. Well, you know, we just celebrated on Sunday. He is a liar. He has himself been deceived. He himself does not know the law of the Most High. I just showed you in the scripture where this comes from. Now, when we go back to Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost, this would have been the Feast of Weeks, seven Sabbath one day, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They are the apostles. They are keeping the feast days of the Most High. They are still keeping Sabbath. They are keeping the feast days. Let's continue. Go back to, I think we just read this, but I want to make sure. Yeah, well, let's drop down to verse. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Let's get verse 9. Let's start in verse 9. We're going to read down to about verse 15 or 16. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, who spake to Moses? Yah did. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be coming to the land which I give to you, I'll be the, and reap your harvest. I think we just read this. Yeah, we did. Okay. So we see them in Acts chapter 2, keeping Pentecost, keeping the Feast of Weeks. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's hear what the apostle has to say about this. Now we see that on the day of Pentecost, they were there, the apostles. Now Paul is initiated later, but he's going to be keeping Pentecost. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and what does he tell you to do? Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Be followers, be imitators of me. Do what I do. You want an example? Do what I do. Be a follower of me. Not as far as, you know, worshiping him, but imitate what I do in my worship, in what I keep. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's see who he's following. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Be followers of me, imitators of me, even as I also am of Mashiach. I'm an imitator of Mashiach. Do you think Mashiach didn't keep the feast days, his own feast days? Paul says, I'm imitating him. He kept the weekly Sabbath. He kept the feast days. They weren't. They couldn't even have predicted Pentecost, what the book is calling Pentecost. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians Philippians chapter 3. And what we're doing is just getting a witness. 3:17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, be imitators of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. An example. That is talking about in their conduct as far as their spiritual conduct, but even they were keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping the feast day. They were learning how to love one another according to the law. That's why in certain things in the book, the Most High said for them to come into the kingdom and just teach the Gentiles to enter in. They're not supposed to stay in this place, but for them to enter in, that they don't eat any blood. They don't anything offered to idols, that they don't fornicate, and that they don't serve some other god. Don't worry about circumcising them in the flesh. When they learn of my laws that require, if they want to keep the Passover, they got to be circumcised. The law calls for it. They got time for that, but you're trying to get them into the kingdom? Don't be trying to cut on them while you're trying to convert them into coming into my kingdom. Give them time to learn my way, synagogue. Because these first Gentiles, they were already in the synagogue. They had already made up their mind that they wanted to serve the Most High through Israel, even though Israel was walking in error. They had synagogues all over the Mediterranean. And you see in Acts chapter 2, people coming from all these different synagogues. So let's go back there. We'll stop here for this morning. And then on this evening, I will show you that the first day of the week never said the first day of the week. Never said that. So we'll pick this up on this evening. But let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And I'm just going to read this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Who's dwelling there? Jews, devout men out of every nation. So our religion was in every place, represented in every place. There was a synagogue there, and there were Gentiles coming to those synagogues. And the letters in the rest of the book attested that. Gentiles were in the synagogue. If you go to Acts chapter 13, you will see that specifically. They were already hearing the law of Moses. But these witnesses right here are all Jews. There are no Gentiles here. These are devout Jews out of every country under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. What do you mean? They're not all speaking Hebrew? They're not all speaking Aramaic? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? But we're hearing something else. How hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were born? Everybody wasn't born in Israel, who was a Jew. who was a Hebrew Israelite. They weren't born in Israel. Where were they born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and parts of Libya and about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. A proselyte was somebody that converted. When you converted as a proselyte, you agreed to keep the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High, and you agreed to be circumcised. That was a proselyte. And they were some devout proselytes that were strangers. They were not Hebrews. He won in the land. Understand what the scriptures are telling you. You got some strangers that heard about the Most High, wanted to convert and be like the people of the Most High. They agreed to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and they, if they were male, they got circumcised. And they were allowed to come and keep the feast days. They were to be considered as one in the land, as a homeborn. The Most High gifts them to come and witness also with the devout Jews, because they would have been considered devout Jews. But when he uses the word proselyte, he's letting you know that these were strangers. These were not Hebrews by birth. And Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of Elohim. So there were synagogues all over. The Romans weren't crushing Israel to the point that they didn't allow them to worship the Most High, didn't allow them to keep their own law. And this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want to lose, that power. Because Rome's way of conquering was to use the conquered own people to uphold Roman law. Hear that again. Rome's way of ruling. I'm going to put a prefect in place, one man, but we're going to make the ruler of the people one of their own, and this man that we make ruler of it from their own people, he's going to report to this one Roman. And the Roman's going to tell this ruler of the Hebrews, or whoever we conquered, this is our will. And if they don't do it, then we'll bring in the soldiers and enforce it. So Israel wasn't being stopped from spreading as long as they agreed to Roman law. But they could still practice their own faith, their own religion. And we see it here on Pentecost, that Israel was still creating converts, proselytes. You go back into the law, the Most High tells us how to handle that. If they want to come close, then they got to agree to keep my commandments and be circumcised, all of their males. Now, this is what the Pharisees were trying to enforce. What book in Acts is that? In Acts chapter 15. Trying to enforce the law as it was given up under Moses, the Mosaic law, that if a stranger wants to come closer, keep the Passover, wants to come close and keep the feast days of the Most High, the law said they had to be circumcised. And the Pharisees were thinking, hey, they're coming into Israel, they got to be circumcised. And the Most High said, no. I'm not going to put that on them. Not to come into the kingdom. But if they want to come close and they want to keep Pentecost, they want to keep Passover, they want to keep my holy days, my law didn't change. They'll learn of these things. Don't try to put this on them right away. With that being said, we will pick this up on this evening. We will have a, we are supposed to typically have a spiritual wellness, but this topic that I believe that we should continue in. And so we're going to pick this up on this evening so I can show you in the scriptures as another source, the scriptures, not even as another source, the source. So you can see that they have twisted. I've already shown you where they twisted the Sabbath day. Even with their calculations of Easter, they twisted the Sabbath day. In their calculations of Pentecost, they have twisted the Sabbath day. Because you can only come to those days and when to keep those days by using the weekly Sabbath. By using the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath. Time out of the side of their neck, they say, hey, we don't have to keep that Sabbath. So understand that. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you, Father, and we thank you always for your word agrees within itself. All we have to do is look and believe. Father, help us to get rid of twisted doctrine, the traditions of men, the doctrine of men. For even in your holy days, you have told us when we should keep them and how we should keep them. And that when you say you hate our feast days, it's because we have corrupted yours and made them our own, that yours still stand. And we just need to keep them in spirit and in truth. Smell in your nostrils. If we are walking in your ways, if we are keeping them as you have said, if we are not doing our own ways and our own pleasure in your holy days, you will honor them. We don't use those verses as another doctrine not to keep your holy days, including your new moon. But they are your holy days. You have ordained these. Being locked up with you. We want to go where you say go, how you say go, and when you say go. Give us understanding. Give us a heart that we will do your will. Help us to find the straight and the narrow gate. And let it be a pleasure to us to walk in it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. So on this evening, we will continue this. As I said, I want to show you in the scriptures that it never said the first day of the week. Never said it as far as when the apostles met. There's something different. But you got to go back into the original language to see what it says. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your day. See you this evening. If Yah puts it on your mind and your heart to be here.
It's amazing, it's beyond my understanding.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo,
peace and blessings to you all. See you this